You would join me in prayer. God of light and freedom, show us the way. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, lift our eyes to the heavens and help us to see signs of your creative care, glimmers that can lead us from bondage to liberty, from despair to courage, from hopelessness to hope. Lord, give us the gift of interpretation and insight as we read your holy word. Come, Jesus, come. Amen. So it's good to start today by saying Happy New Year. Today is the first day in our church calendar, beginning the year with the celebration of Advent. Now, Advent is the church season that we're in. It's marked by the color purple, a royal color, as we celebrate the coming of Jesus' birth. Now, Advent is a unique time in the church because it invites us to learn how to wait. It's what Fleming Rutledge defines as the once and the future. Another devotional describes Advent as the season of waiting, watching, and wonder. Not like waiting in line, but rather waiting for a concert to begin, waiting for a love letter to arrive or the stars to come out on a cold and clear night. Now, the word Advent comes from the Latin word to mean arrival. And of course, we wait for the arrival of Jesus, the one whom we call the light of the world. Now, these next weeks, we have the opportunity to celebrate Advent. We also have the opportunity to learn how to wait. Wait as we celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day, but also a twofold meaning as we celebrate and proclaim that Jesus promises for the second Advent, or to come again. And when Christ will return, all things will be made well, and all manner of things will be made well, as Julianne of Norwich says. Our theme this Advent is a little unique. We're going to call it Out of the Shadows. Our churches in our region will join us as we journey through together, and every week the pastors of these various churches, we get together on Zoom and we do brainstorming and talk about the scripture. We talk about how we might preach, what's going on in our churches, and so know that you are being prayed for throughout this Advent season by various pastors in our American Baptist churches in Nebraska, all while we embrace this idea of out of the shadows. We light these Advent candles, and we do this so out of resistance. This is an act of defiance. This flies in the face of pain and suffering and sin and injustice in our world. There is darkness that abounds, and yet we proclaim to follow the light of the world, the Prince of Peace, the Day Star on high, the Christ that gives light, life, and love. Now, while the darkness, though, seems to overwhelm, we wait, we watch, and we long for light. We pray. And as we prepare to celebrate Christ's birth, we also anticipate the renewal of hope, peace, joy, and love. We gather to light these Advent candles as a reminder that hope would and will overwhelm despair, that peace will always overwhelm conflict, that joy will overwhelm sorrow, and that love will overwhelm hate. May we come out of these shadows and experience the light of the world like the Gospel of John says. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So together, church, we embark on this Advent journey in the newness of the year, traversing not in shadows, but stepping into the light. May we come out together. Today, our reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke. We'll be in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. I invite you to follow along if you have a paper copy of Scripture, if you have a phone or another device in which you read on. We invite you to join us in the reading of Luke chapter 21, Luke 21, verses 25 through 36. I'm going to read out of the NRSV translation this morning. This is Jesus speaking, picking up in verse 25 of Luke chapter 21. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in on a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When Jesus told them a parable, he said, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that the day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all of these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, folks, nothing says Advent like a little apocalyptic writing. We read this and our stomachs drop. Our anxiety kicks in. We try to start connecting the dots. What tragedy have we seen this week? What keeps us up at night? What must we endure before it gets better? What political regime do we need to survive for Christ to return? Or maybe some of you older folks, you get lost in the series Left Behind, right? Anyone remember Left Behind? Okay, thank you, Brandon. Got a hand raise out there. You get caught up in this idea of being left behind, and it begins to rule your hearts and your minds. We poke around the book of Revelation, confused and fearful of that lake of fire. And there is this perpetual funk hanging in the air that begins to permeate our senses, and everything is wrong, everything is bad, everything is hopeless, and everything is overwhelming. There's a heaviness that lingers in conversations after Thanksgiving celebrations that didn't go quite as planned, that drug up unresolved trauma, that made you frustrated with family members yet again after you've spoken with them time and time again. Or maybe you got stuck hosting for people that didn't seem very grateful or thankful on Turkey Day. This anxiousness in the world, this shaking feeling that the faces around the table have aged, or that you spent the holiday feeling lonely, this anxiousness in our world is bubbling up, and it's threatening to bubble over. Do you feel it? Now, do you fear it? Are you in despair? Now, you're thinking, "Preacher, why are you telling me to read signs? Am I to read these signs? Am I to think everything is a sign? Am I to be fearful of them? Am I to ignore them? This really isn't giving Merry Christmas or Jesus' birth or cute farm animals around the swaddled child. Yet the first week of Advent points us to prepare for Christ's return. Ultimately, this text is not one about being fearful of signs or constantly trying to connect the dots or be good enough or to remind us of the shadow of despair, but ultimately this passage points us to hope, hope that illuminates the shadow of despair as we step into the light. The gospel according to Luke, if you play that game on Nintendo. The gospel according to Luke is one of the earliest accounts of Jesus' life. It's written to a Gentile audience. It's attributed to Luke, who was a physician and a traveling co-worker of Paul. Luke begins this gospel by saying, "I've decided to write an orderly account. I've organized these various things that Jesus has done." And throughout the gospel, it features Jesus' ministry intertwined with this idea that the coming of the kingdom of God is a part of Jesus' ministry, his proclamation that it has happened. And in this gospel account, we see that Jesus encounters some unique characters, like the outcasts, the marginalized, the religious leaders. He says over and over again that my coming is the good news for the poor. Jesus then welcomes social outsiders. He talks about this kingdom that is actually upside down and inside out. It's not the same as the world. And by chapter 21, Jesus has made it to Jerusalem. He's predicted that the temple of Jerusalem will fall, that there will be destruction, that the Roman army will defeat and desolate the city. And just in the verses above, he's talking about signs and persecution of his followers. He's saying that this will come to pass. Like I said, Merry Christmas. Jesus then opens in verse 25. He says, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on earth distress among the nations, shadows lurking all around, tempting us to despair. There is tension in this reading, and you might feel it now in your gut. Jesus says that people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. All this mention of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the roaring of the sea and the waves, and the fear are all images, not from our modern-day understanding, but they're illustrations from the Old Testament that all refer to the day of the Lord, which the day of the Lord was the day that God would bring judgment, but ultimately restoration to the people. Alan Culpepper says that there are cosmic signs that will precede the coming of the Son of Man, echoing and fulfilling the oracles of the prophets. Think about the fulfillment of Jesus' birth here. God is saying that God will make God's self visible to the people of God in God's own time. Now, under the shadow of despair, the people were fearful of this political movement. There was an oppressive rule coming from Rome. Rome was known for its cruelty, for its military might. It was haunting the lives of the ancient Near Eastern people. Rome had no problem with coming in to conquer and take what they wanted with no regard of sacred places or religion or tradition. And it's how Rome kept its peace for so long, through violence. And if that wasn't enough, the religious leaders in the gospel according to Luke are taking advantage of the poor and the community. This is why when Jesus enters into Jerusalem just earlier, he flips the tables in the temple and he declares, "You have made my father's house into a den of robbers." These are eschatological or end times. These are images pointing us to the tension of what it means to wait, to be people that wait. We are in between the present and the future, the kingdom of here and now as we know it through Christ, but also the promise of the kingdom to come, the already but the not yet. This is the understanding in which we celebrate Advent. The audience, the original hearers of these words, were living in this space. Miriam Kamel calls it was a space of political chaos of the first century Roman Empire. And we know from history that Jerusalem is destroyed, that this happens after Jesus' ascension. Now, the shadows in our world are the same. We might not live under Rome's thumb, but we too are longing for signs. Now, what was our sign? Was it the election? Was it the Husker loss? Was it the flood in our church building that disrupted our fellowship? Was it our screens going out in consecutive weeks? Was it the cold? Was it the frustration we feel? Are the signs the wars that wage abroad, or the hunger of our neighbors, or the racism our brothers and sisters face, or the financial burden of living in a vicious cycle of predatory payday lending? Could it be those natural disasters in North Carolina just months ago? We all ask ourselves these things. Is this the sign? Is this the one I was supposed to see? Did I miss it? We try so hard to read these signs that happen so frequently that we just wait for the other shoe to drop, We get bogged down with sin that asks us to put ourselves first, to forsake our brothers and sisters just to get ahead, to make a dime. It's the temptation to lie so that we look good. It's the coveting of good things that happen to people that we know because don't I deserve some good too? Maybe our shadow is our prayer life. We feel like God isn't listening, that things aren't happening no matter how hard we pray and intercede and ask and beg. We bury our heads in the sand. And often we feel true pain. We feel impatience. We feel hurt. And perhaps this is that very fainting of fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. The fig tree bloomed, just like Jesus said, but we can't even picture what that looks like. We can't even imagine what hope and fruit on trees might be in this cold, in the shadows of despair, in our worries and our anxieties. And this lack of control makes us feel hopeless. Would it not be easier if we just had a sign or if we knew what it looked like? Hasn't Jerusalem already fallen? Biblical commentator Stephanie Buchan Crowder writes, "The words of Jesus ring true. Every generation seeks a sign, from a sign that change will soon come to a sign of comfort in troubled times. Every generation, even the present one, seeks a sign." What if, though? What if this text is not asking us to look for a specific sign, but there already is one that we miss? I'm convinced that the signs that we are to look for are not ones of terror or destruction or desolation or gloom or violence or injustice, but signs that God is still at work, that there can still be resurrection and transformation. So often we get swallowed up in the litany of why, and we forget to ask where. Where is God calling us? Where is God breaking into time and space again to transform lives and hearts? Well, it sure looks like Atlas down the street, helping our neighbors in need. It looks like giving out lunches on Saturday. It looks like decorating the church together, or the provision of insulin, or having a place to share your concerns and your fears. The curious thing about this passage and about the revelation to John, the book of Revelation, is that they're actually books of encouragement. Encouragement to the persecuted and the hurting. They're not a playbook for the end times. Jesus himself says that, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father knows." It's not to scare us. It's to encourage us. It's not to ask us to believe and buy into conspiracy theories that only prove us right and make famous evangelists rich. No, it's the good news of this passage that says that the Son of Man is coming on a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption, also your salvation, is drawing near. God is still with us. The fig tree in the biblical text and the understanding, the fig lesson that Jesus gives, this parable, is because the fig trees in the Old Testament were used as a metaphor. They were comparing the peace and the prosperity of Israel, of God's chosen people, of us, God's beloved. Jesus says that the leaves are sprouting. It's telling us that summer is near. It's telling us that light is breaking in, that hope cannot be shut out, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, my promises will not pass away. So Jesus repeats, "Be on guard that your hearts are not weighed down with the drunkenness or the worries of this life. Instead, be watchful. God is still with us. And the key to this continual hope is to be alert at all times, praying that you would have the strength to escape these things that will take place. Moving out of the shadows, we know that in our brokenness, in the uncertainty of the world, the candle of hope remains lit, even if we've turned our face from it. There will always be preachers and people attempting to read the stars or signs, but our focus is to be on Christ. In the good news that we are never abandoned to this world, but we are invited into the kingdom of God in the ministry of here and now and what is to come as we follow Jesus. This is Christian discipleship. Alan Culpepper, he argues, the only way to escape these events is to be ready before the Son of Man, is to be strengthened by constant prayer. Together we pray this Advent. We pray with our cute little devotional that has a candle on it, but we pray also for discernment, for renewal, for hope, for light. And we are to be watchful and alert, praying humbly, trusting in God and awaiting redemption from the world system that only God can bring about. Miriam Kamel writes, out of the shadow of despair, we cling to hope. We come out of the shadows. The Son of Man has come. We will celebrate cute little infant baby Jesus in a couple weeks. We'll celebrate that God promises to return and make all things good and new, that there will be no fear and trembling or pain or suffering or tears. We hold on to that promise. We have a companion. We have the Spirit of God helping us to illuminate the dark. And in turn, we are asked to be that light in the world, to push aside the shadows and hold on with fierce hope, to risk love, to put our action and our faith into action, that we stand on God's faithful promises that call us beloved no matter our background or what we struggle with or when we fall short on days, a God that still loves us and pursues us and calls us child, that we are made in God's image, that God can make a way when it feels like there is no way or we're running out of time. We can hold on to the promise that evil and sin are triumphed by Jesus' death on the cross, and that through it we have new life and restoration and reconciliation with a God that knows our name and knows our stories and knows what hurts and what keeps us up at night. We have hope. We can hold on to something more precious, that God's love never fades or falters. That as Scripture says, His mercies are new every morning. Those that are in Christ, well, we do not fear the signs of the times, but we know God's love is more. Out of the shadow of despair, we cling to God's hope that there is more to come, that there is liberation and healing on the horizon. So be alert. Pray constantly. As Sister Joanne Chister describes Advent, she says that it's the waiting, that cold, emphasis on cold here, dry period of life when nothing seems to be good enough and something else beckons within us. That is the grace that Advent brings along. We all want something more, and Advent asks the question, what is it in which you are spending your life on? What star are you following? And where is that star's presence in life leading you? So look up to the stars. See the day star, our north star, Jesus Christ, leading us out of the shadow of despair and into the light of hope. Advent. Advent will be cold. It will be hard to wait. But it sobers us to the experience of the warmth of hope. May the light from this candle, named hope, overwhelm the world. God's hope is coming on earth as it already is in heaven, and let us step courageously out of the shadows and into the light of hope. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.